Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
Hello, everyone. This is David.
Hey, this is Andy.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, we are here to reason together with all of you out there, and we'd like to invite you to come and reason together. Get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. And we are looking into personal relations with God. And God has given us wonderful little words, and there's a list of them. They're called prepositions, and prepositions show relations between objects, whether you're in this object, like you're in the house, we're standing in a room right now, or whether you're upon it or you're going into it or whatever, it shows your relationship and where you're going. But more importantly, it shows our relationship with God. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit being within you and upon you. Isn't there, Andy?
Yes.
We'll get to those later, but there is a difference. I am in the Father and the Father's in me. There's scriptures like that. So it shows you Jesus' relationship with the Most Holy Father. And we've covered three. I do all right in Greek, but I don't do so well in math, Andy. We did three before. Everything came out of God the Father. We looked at 1 Corinthians 8:6. You can go to personal relationship one on the podcast, Gilbert and Friends Come Let Us Reason Together. I'd suggest you make a print of this and go over it and go over it with your friends. Go to a coffee shop and read it together and see what you think. And write me back or call me in the context part of the, right under the homepage to contact us. You can see David's picture and his phone numbers if you live in the Seattle, Washington. If you live in Washington, David would be more than glad to talk to you. Or if you live in Oregon and Portland, Oregon in particular, you can call and talk to Andy. And their phone numbers are there. I'm old, so you don't see my picture there. I didn't want to frighten people away from the website. So I'm a white-haired guy. I'm tall. But anyway, you'll see their pictures there. And so please call them and let them know what you think. And they'd be glad to answer. Would you like to answer their questions, Andy?
Oh, sure.
You would even go see them and have coffee with them.
Oh, huh? I'd love to meet whoever would want to talk. Sure.
Okay. How about you, David?
Sure.
So give them a holler. So we looked at the first preposition, ek, everything in 1 Corinthians 8:6. There's one God, the Father, out of whom ek, everything exited from God. And we, into him, we are designed, God, through his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to come back into him. Then he next talks about his Son, Jesus, one Lord, Jesus Christ. Look at how it says, one God the Father and one Lord Jesus Christ. He's showing the relationship between the two and how everything came through Jesus in the creation. And God has provided a way through Jesus to come back into the Father. So we looked at ek being exit, eis being into, like coming back into God, dia being through. We came through Jesus, and we are to come back into Jesus. Go to the website. We'll be on personal relations too, and we're going to go into the subject about being born again. So we're not talking about climbing back into your mother's womb. Actually, that question was even asked by a Jewish leader named Nicodemus. Jesus says, you must be born again, and he goes, what? Get back in my mother's womb? And Jesus said, no. Well, he didn't say no, did he?
No, he answered him.
He answered how to do it, but he didn't say no, did he? Did I add that?
I don't believe he said no.
Okay. I got to delete what I said. So God the Father created us through Jesus' hands. Men fell. Now God wants us to return home. Guess what direction? Equally to God that we get to stay the same? Or do you think we have to go a direction? And before we get started and get into this direction, I want Andy to read a special verse that I just love. And it tells you where God is, and it tells you where we are.
This is in Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those my hand has made, and all those exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word.
That's a great scripture. Well, we're going to concentrate on verse 1. Why don't you read verse 1 again?
Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me, and where is the place of my rest?
Where do we usually call heaven? What direction?
People usually look up.
If God is looking on the earth, which direction is he looking?
Down.
So God is up and we're down, right?
That's pretty simple.
That's how most people think anyway, yeah.
And would you consider yourself equal to God?
No.
Good answer. That's a safe answer.
Good answer,
and,
no.
And he's going, I don't want fire to come down and... So you would consider God up, and how far up?
Well, it says heaven here.
So not attainable in a human way.
I can't give you a measurement of miles.
Okay. So we're going to introduce the new word, up. And the Greek word is ana, A-N-A. Just to write it down so you can say it in the English language. So we've gone through exit, coming out of God, from God. We've introduced the next word, eis, to come back into God, the Father. We've introduced the other word, the third word, dia. We came out through Jesus Christ in the creation of man. We fell, but we are to come back into him. And the reason I say fall is because we have to come up to go to God, because heaven is his throne and earth is a footstool of his feet. Now, is all this making sense?
Well, that's pretty simple directional. Yeah, it's directional thinking.
Am I talking over your head?
You mean up?
So I am talking over your head.
You are.
Because God is up. So God the Father created us through Jesus' hands. Men fell. Now God wants us to return home. Come back into him through Jesus Christ, who says, come and follow me. The whole idea of returning home to God, the Father's, it's found everywhere in the Bible. Mankind was banished from the garden. He no longer had access to the tree of life. His days were limited. And the following examples are going to tell the same story, but maybe in different ways. So John 8, 23, what does that say? Can you get that one, Andy? John 8, 23. This actually strengthens the fact of where God is compared to us.
And Jesus said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world.
That pretty much says it. So now when we read John 3, 7, in the light of the Greek, with these other scriptures, I think you'll see what we're getting at.
John 3, 7, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again.
Well, actually, in the Greek, it doesn't say that. That word again is the Greek word ana, and it means up. Why don't you, instead of saying again, why don't you say up?
Okay.
And read it again.
Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born up.
It's the Greek word anathen. Do you think the translators are going like, what does that mean? But in the light of Jesus saying, I'm from above and you're from below, I see a lot in Christianity today that just say, just accept me as I am, Jesus. I'm still robbing banks, but just I know he loves me. No, he told the woman that was the prostitute, your sins are forgiven, because she came to him. But what was the very next instruction?
Go and sin no more.
Yeah.
So it's not just as you are. You got to knock it off. I had to knock it off. Did you have to knock it off, Andy?
I had to knock it off.
Knock it. That's not in the Bible. Anyway, don't marvel that I, Jesus, said to you, you must be born up, anathen. Not be reborn, but born up. I'm not going to argue with people about being born again. It's still a great expression, but in actuality, it's being born up. In other words, we're no longer of this earth. Jesus says, I am from above, you are from below. We've fallen, mankind's fallen.
I was just going to say, in a center reference of this Bible, it says, or from above, but even more accurately would be born up. But someone who did obviously notice in relation is talking about up.
Maybe we're stretching this in translating it again. It is not being reborn. That's another word.
Mm-hmm.
But to be born up. Most Christians have heard this time and time again. You must be born again. Until I started reading the New Testament in the Greek, I went along with this. And I agree, we have to be born anew. It has to be a new birth. We were born coming out of our mother's womb, but we do need to be born from God. But here it is precisely saying in the Greek, we must be born up, upborn.
Well, that sounds like a better direction to go.
It does, to be born above it all. So now we're introducing this word, anna. And David, what's the full context on that John 3? That's a great one. And by the way, can I put pressure on you to translate it in your head as you are reading to say born up every time instead of born again?
Okay.
And let's see what it says. Let's say, okay, you know when men went away from God for 1,000+ years and came to the dark ages, the middle of the second millennium after Jesus died on the cross, they had gone away from God. These people were not raised on the Greek language. They had to learn the Greek. It was their secondary language. It was not their primary language. And these translators did a marvelous job dusting off these old manuscripts coming out of bondage and rewrote the Bible, but maybe not as accurately according to the original Greek. And that's why it's so nice to have the Greek available to us. And they did a marvelous job. And the Bible is powerful, even with a few mistranslations. It is way powerful enough to save any man. But yet, as we go along in the Lord, some of these things become more evident. They come to light and it's more accurate. And I want to know them. So now it's talking about being born up. So we're going to look at John 3, 1 through what, David?
Through, it looks like 15.
In the light of being born up.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born up, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born up. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life.
Look at that word lifted up at the end. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about being lifted up. A peculiar thing starts happening in this gospel that does not happen in other gospels. In the book of Matthew, you will hear talk about the kingdom of heaven. Only in the book of Matthew is that found. There's one or two other places you will see this. I think one's in the Old Testament where Jesus says, Amen, Amen. Now, David read it truly, truly. There's another podcast on this, but in the Hebrew, the word Amen also comes into the Greek language. It's a transliteration. It's a Hebrew word that needed not to be changed. It's better not to be changed. And here again, the English translators decide to say, truly, truly. Oh my, I wish they would leave it alone. It's amen, amen. This word is hugely powerful, and it's Jesus telling us he is the Father. He's also called Father too. He's not God the Father, but he is our Father. And he is saying amen, amen. When he doubles this, what does double mean?
That's a witness.
What happens when you get a vision two times?
It's going to happen.
And it's going to happen fast.
Yes.
An interesting thing happens when things are double. It's going to happen. It's going to happen fast. It's of a fact that it will happen and happen fast. And there's a good example of that. Later on, we can talk about that. The second time it is found is in John, but it's found in John 2 or 3. It's also found in John 1. The very first time in the book of John, he says, Amen, amen. You will see heaven opened and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Again, you have the ascending and descending. This whole thing is talking all about ascending and descending. I am from above, you are from below, in John 8:23. He talks about this again and again. You are of the earth, I'm from heaven, I'm from the Father. And then he tells them to be born up. But three times he tells them, the first time he says, Amen, amen, I say unto you, unless someone is born up, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you got to get up to see the kingdom of God. You got to be born up. And then the second time he says in verse 5, Amen, amen, I say unto you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So here he tells us how to be born up. And then finally in verse 10, Jesus replied, Amen, amen. We speak that what we know and what we testify to what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. He says that three times in there. Amen, amen.
That was verse 11.
Thank you. Jesus, when he says, Amen, amen, he is saying, I'm a father. I will nurse you. I will take care of you. I will meet all your needs, and I've provided everything. I've made all the provisions. Everything's prepared for you to make it up to the Father. So I'm introducing this word, Anna, which means to be born up. Well, God created man in his image after his likeness, and when he disobeyed God after about 100 years, he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that weighed him down. Man departed from God, was separated from God, and he was, I wouldn't say condemned, but he was sentenced to live on the earth, bound by the earth, bound physically by gravity. He fell away from God, and then he had a son after his own image, Seth, born after his image and his likeness. So here is man, he has fallen away from God. Jesus comes to man and he says, you are from below, I am from above. In Isaiah 66, he said, God's throne is in heaven, the earth is a footstool of his feet. And then Jesus comes back and tells men, we must be born up. So that is now the fourth word, is the word Anna, which means up.
I did have one other thought just to confirm again, because we have also talked a lot about God's kingdom. Back in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born up, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it's a requirement, really, for you to be part of that kingdom.
You know, in the Old Testament, David, the gate to the tabernacle, the outside gate, it was called a gate, and then there were veils and hangings on the inside. They have actually different names, but the gate was always to be pointed to the east. That's the Old Testament. We are the temple of God. You ever thought of the New Testament being pointed up, oriented up?
Because that's where Jesus is coming from?
Because in Psalms 11:4, Yahweh is in his holy temple. Yahweh's throne is in heaven. And so instead of in the Old Testament, you go laterally because it's still tied to the earth. But when Jesus died on the cross, I'm going to think in my mind's eye, that tabernacle
up on end
is up on end, and the gate is here on earth. And we enter by this narrow gate, and we go up.
So that, it should be an unmistakable gate, because we don't have a lot of gates on earth that are going up. It's totally different than anything on earth, because there's no up gates. I didn't come out of my house and go through the gate up, because gravity. It's really interesting. It's something that is, there's only one of them.
Isn't it interesting, too, the word rapture is never found in the Bible? Well, I'm going to take that back. The word harpazo is, but it's different than what you think. The main word found in the Bible, found 108 times, I believe, is resurrection. Now, think of the resurrection. Think of being born up. It's one of the foundation principles. That on the third day, well, first day, Jesus died on the cross. Then he shed his blood. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And I wonder if there's a picture here that the old temple is a building, the new temple, God says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God is in his holy temple, and he's inviting us to come into his holy place. It says that in Hebrews. And we're going to have to continue this subject the next time and go into the next preposition and see our relationship before God. So until we meet again, may God lead you into his holy temple in heaven.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.